means. And it's a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Chris Mack alongside Mark Cabali. This is Cabali and Mack. My man is dialed in today down in Florida for day two of the league meetings. The NFC head coaches at their tables in that very hot, sweaty room that Mike Tomlin and the other AFC coaches were in yesterday. We'll talk about something that also is going to be a big topic of discussion league-wide all day today. Already has been for the past few days. May get buttoned up today or tomorrow. May get tabled for the May owners meetings. We'll talk about it. We'll get to it. Maybe another sort of rulesy type change to schedule procedures that may have flown under the radar for some of yous, but could definitely affect you as Steeler fans. We'll get into that. Of course, Aaron and DK working out in California. And Mr. Most Famous on the internet is with me. We'll get into all the fun stuff in just a second. Thanks first to the Dan Heck team for supporting Cabali and Mack. HeckTeamHomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, HeckTeamHomes.com. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in Pittsburgh, they are here to help you. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, the whole team waiting to help you find the forever home, find the first home, the starter home, move from one to the other, whatever it may be. They are there to help you at the Dan Heck team, Heck Team Homes, H-A-E-C-K, TeamHomes.com. And we want to thank them, too, real quick, before we get into the actual things that we're talking about today. I want to thank them. They yesterday gave away five tickets. We picked five people who had retweeted the new Cabali and Mack Twitter account, which, by the way, is a thing. We're up on X now, Cabali and Mack. We'll get it verified soon so that we can stream the video from there. And then also up on Instagram as well, Cabali and Mack. But we want to thank the Dan Heck team and congratulate Sean, David, Heather, Andrew, and another Andrew, Andy, I think was his name. All five of them were picked yesterday to win raffle tickets for that F-150 STX that the Whitehall Fire Company is raffling off. WhitehallFire301.com if you'd like to buy your own ticket. Also gave away the autographed Jerome Bettis jersey yesterday. I've been in touch with Aiden. Got his address. Going to ship it out today. Get him the old confirmation number, kaboom. And we've got to talk to our friends at First and Goal Collectibles about the next giveaway. That's something we got to cook up now.
Ooh, I like your nice little...
We got all the friends on the screen now. You like that? We got the Dan Heck team. We got First and Goal, Southwest Greens, Impact HVAC. Everybody's with us at the same time now. You like the way that works?
And, you know, if anybody else wants to join on...
Always welcome.
Hit the podcast page and... Our business partners will take care of you, or business manager.
Just email us, DM us. Okay, let's be real about it. Just get a hold of one of us, and we'll figure it out. Because thanks to those that have reached out in the last couple weeks and months to jump on board, including our friends at Southwest Greens, Impact HVAC, First and Goal Collectibles, and of course the Dan Heck team. So, are you over yet being the most popular man on the internet?
You know, first of all you people out there.
Let it fly. Let it fly, Kaboom. What do you got to say for your... No, listen.
I'm flipping up. I was not sleeping. I was not sleeping, you morons. Not the people who watch this show, the Twitter.
No, the people that watch this show love us and love you more than they love me, obviously.
Honestly, I'll do the example. And this is the big announcement I'm making. I was not sleeping. Are you crazy? I was literally at a bad angle with Mike Tomlin and my phone. I had to go like this. So I'm trying to look right here to see if I'm in frame.
Right.
I'm looking and I'm
to see if he's in frame. Right.
And I'm hitting it as he says something because I don't want to go through all 45 minutes of this because most of it's already heard the day before. And that's what it is. And you look at that piece of garbage, the Fabo. I know you're watching. If you look, he had it. It was all set up. If you look, I was going out of screen, and he slightly moved his camera to make sure I was back in the screen. I was set up. I wasn't sleeping. I went to the NFL party last night.
Oh, who
first person I see? Ryan Clark. Man, they're hammering you. I'm like, thanks, Ryan.
Here's the thing. You texted me about all the big famous people you saw last night. Actually, you just told me Guy Fieri. But you texted me
our friend Mason Rudolph texted me, giving me some crap.
Listen, this
is okay, buddy. I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine.
Kaboom was awake the whole time. I saw him, you know, like he said, sort of holding the phone like this and trying to make sure that Tomlin was in the frame. And so his eyes were down on the phone. It looked like he was sleeping. I get it. We talked about it yesterday. You are a storyteller with your words for Pat McAfee, right? You're also a storyteller with your face, Mark. Let's be honest. Your face has gotten you in trouble before. And your face was telling one story yesterday. And the world latched onto that. And now they get the real story, which is Kaboom was not asleep yesterday morning.
I'm shocked. You know, you said that yesterday. I sat there and I said, I got to be very aware of my facial expressions because I cannot control them at times.
And you remember what happened? Was it Pickens or Kenny the one time a couple years ago was talking?
Mike Williams in Washington. It was Deontay
Mike Mitchell
Johnson.
At one point, I think.
Deontay Johnson after he ripped on the – That's you know, it was Deontay Johnson. He ripped on the refs, said they were fixed or something.
And your face went.
And it was a late game, and I'm sleeping, and all of a sudden, 2 o'clock in the morning, my phone goes off. Apparently, Scott Van Pelt just started, like, making fun of it. I'm like, what in the world? I'm like, oh, jeez. Well, I mean, there's so many cameras there, you can't tell which one it is. I wasn't sleeping. I don't have narcolepsy. what are you guys talking about?
No, in fact, you actually have the opposite of that at times where you just insomnia, right? You have a hard time sleeping. So you were not sleeping at the table next to Mike Tomlin yesterday, though.
Omar says, hey, you got any good memes lately? I'm like, yeah, Omar, thanks. Yeah. I mean,
that was literally an hour after it happened, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
That's the speed of the internet.
I was about ready to say, Omar, you were just sweating like Jim Bibby. You're talking about memes for me?
No one saw that, though. No cameras on Omar.
Oh, he was sweating twice as bad
as Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, it was not good.
But, well, I want to ask you about some takeaways.
I just want to make it really clear. I was not sleeping.
You were not sleeping. We got it.
I mean, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. I mean, there's people DMing me middle of the night. Can I use this? It was like the Shannon Sharp show. What's that? With Ocho Cinco and stuff. I don't really give a shit.
Wait, so hold on. They're DMing you to ask if they can use photos and video that were taken by DeFabo. Is that
right?
It was
like 2 in the morning, and I don't even know what it was. Maybe it was a different video clip. It says, can we use this? I'm like, woke up, looked at it, and said, yes. I don't know who it was. I saw a Deadspin meme that just came out.
Oh, Big Cat from Barstool had a good one this morning. Did you see that?
Oh, Christ.
No. It's not a shot at you. It's not a shot at you. I don't consider it a shot at you because I know you weren't sleeping. But it's, you know, Big Cat loves his morning coffee. And it's a picture of you and Mike and the famous photo now where it looks like you're sleeping, even though you're not. We've established that you were not. You were highly alert in that situation. But he put over your face, it just says, me before coffee. And then over Mike Tomlin's face, it says, anyone talking. So it's not a shot at you. It's just more recognition from Big Cat at Barstool and PFT that he loves his coffee. So look, you were the star of the internet for a day.
Wow. I could put that on my resume.
Yeah, put that on LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
March 31st to March 31st.
You know, the great five. The great
biggest star on the internet.
The great D-Bone, who's the graphic artist for Pat's show that I work with to get the artist. He tweeted, say, hey, don't forget it's April Fool's Day, so be careful with the internet or something like that.
Yeah, got you already.
I said, you know, let me read exactly so I don't misquote him because, you know. He said that Twitter's going to be a problem today. Be on your toes, people. And I said, some may say it was a problem yesterday.
Well, you pushed through it. You've made it to the other side. And you're still in Florida for a day while it's like 35 degrees, 40 degrees back here in the burg.
So today's pretty much nothing, man. Today,
there's a couple big things. that I want to talk about. But I want to start with...
Hey, I got to do some wrestling shit.
Okay, well... Yeah,
in a good way.
Well, hold on. Let's digress for just 3 minutes on the wrestling shit then, okay? First of all, fantastic match between Rhea Ripley and Io Sky last night in the main event.
I was too busy getting ripped on at the NFL meeting. So.
It was a great match, as almost any match with Rhea Ripley is. I don't know if whatever. I'll leave any further criticisms of that angle at the door because the three of them together in the ring are usually really entertaining. The big thing though was John Cena and Cody Rhodes at the beginning. Did you see the opening segment?
Yes, I did see the opening, and I saw
this is the best moment.
The beatdown of Gunther.
Oh, yeah, you know what? That was actually... So, hold on. I've been a big Gunther critic for the last however long. I will say, I am firmly on board now. Look, I just called Drew McIntyre the top heel in the company the other day, but it's hard to argue with Gunther after that performance last night.
You don't slap a man like Jimmy slapped him the week before. Don't think that the Austrian's going to go crazy. I think he's from Austria, right?
Yeah, he's from Vienna. And building on top of, I don't know if you watched you don't get A&E on your stupid YouTube TV, so you can't watch LFG.
Every time I complain about it, YouTube messages me and says, yeah, tell us what you want, and we'll get on it. And then I tell them.
And then you say A&E,
and then it never happens.
So LFG, Legends and Future Greats, who haven't had a chance to watch it yet, they take a bunch of young prospective professional wrestlers at the Performance Center, and they run them through all these kind of things as teams, and they put them through matches and stuff, and it's actually really well done. But every week they have a different WWE superstar come in and sort of mentor them. A couple weeks ago it was CM Punk. He wanted to have them come up and do promos in front of him. This past Sunday it was Gunther, and Gunther just basically ripped everybody to shreds. It was fantastic. He stayed as kayfabe as a character could possibly be in this day and age on a reality show while still being a somewhat realistic person anyway. And then he goes out and absolutely destroys Jimmy Uso last night and makes Jay watch while he's got him zip tied to the ropes. It was a great segment as well. I'm fully on board the Gunther is heel train. But Cena Rhodes, again, I said we'd only digress for 3 minutes. So I'll say this, and this will be it, and then we'll get back to Rogers and Metcalf. That was the best moment yet of the build-up to WrestleMania between Cena and Rhodes. They both just lobbed nuclear weapons at each other. Some of the lines dropped in that promo on both sides were fantastic. I think Cena probably gets my top one for "I build empires for billionaires. You just take money from their kids." But there were so many great lines in that battle, that 25-minute segment.
I thought you'd be talking about the dick in the pants. And I'm thinking, I always wonder if they run it past the producer or of the segment or whatever. Hey, I'm going to say this, or this, like, hell with you, man. I'm just going to go say it.
I mean, but think about it. 5 years ago, when the other guy who they didn't reference, Vince, was running things, you wouldn't get veiled references to AEW like that. You wouldn't get any of the shit that you got in that promo battle last night. And because it did escalate to that height of realism and just everything involved with it, well, I thought we finally got the moment we've been waiting like 3.5 weeks for between Cody and Cena to make WrestleMania feel like it might live up to the hype.
Yeah, it was a good promo. You know, it really, really, if I was a betting man right now, it really points towards Cena winning this title. Really pointing to, I mean, you're getting a strong feeling that he's going to beat Cody. And Cody, I mean, I still got this crazy, crazy thought that Cody might join Paul Heyman. It just doesn't make sense to me that why so many people or so many superstars out of the blue have hated on Cody for the past 3 or 4 months. Just random people. Like, why is Randy Orton even give a shit, right? And then you can go back time and time again. It's like, what is this guy talking about? So something seems like it's getting to be a build up here that Cody's just going to snap. And I think he's going to lose his title. And
But see, here's the thing.
The Heyman thing might be going a little bit too far.
Yeah, that's a completely different angle for the first night of Mania that I think.
The way I look at it is Heyman is not needed with Roman Reigns. He's not needed with CM Punk. Seth Rollins, I don't know how much of a fit there is there with him. I think he could elevate somebody, but he probably wouldn't need to elevate.
They don't need him to. Yeah, they don't need him to elevate Cody. What we need is the payoff.
Heyman needs to be a part of every single episode.
Yes, if that were possible, he'd be on. Absolutely. The problem is when you finally get a payoff to Punk, Reigns, Rollins, I don't know how whatever Heyman does doesn't align him with the guy that's going to end up being the babyface, at least with the crowd. People are going to have a hard time hating any of those three. It's very hard to catch any of those three coming out of that match as a pure heel and everybody hates them. I don't know. It's part of the beautiful nuance of the storyline, I guess, too.
There's different levels. Here's a guy here and a guy here. But
to your point, I think what Hunter always does is just when you think something's about to happen, he waits. He makes you wait. He makes you wait. He makes you wait. And so I don't know if Cena necessarily wins at Mania. I think maybe it happens later. Maybe it's SummerSlam. Maybe it's even closer to the end of the year, closer to the farewell tour.
The next PLE after that may be in St. Louis. And you're really looking at Orton versus potentially Cena there, maybe?
Well, again, to loop things back around to Pittsburgh everywhere always, the first Raw after Backlash, I want to say, is the one that's scheduled for Pittsburgh. I could be wrong.
I think.
Anyway.
Great Phil Maynes clocking in on YouTube.
Yeah, Phil likes your shirt. I wonder where you got that.
He's the one who gave it to me.
it does. It looks good on you. So thanks again to all of our sponsors. We want to thank Southwest Greens. Of course, I've mentioned them before. You see them at the bottom of the screen. SouthwestGreensPA.com. SouthwestGreensPA.com. Maybe your yard's a disaster and you can't figure out how to get it fixed. I know that's been the case for a lot of people. You live in maybe a new build neighborhood and the yard is a mess. Trust me, been there, done that. Kaboom's in the middle of it right now. And you go, man, I'm never going to get this grass to look good. I got to spray chemicals on it all the time. I got to water it all the time. And then I got to take care of it when it actually does start to grow. Get a hold of Southwest Greens, southwestgreenspa.com. Tell Jake there that Kabali and Mac sent you because they could put a beautiful artificial surface in your yard. Maybe it's just part of the yard. Maybe it's just the backyard. Maybe it's the whole yard. Whatever it is, it's going to look real. It's going to look fantastic. It's real and it's spectacular. It's not real, though. It just looks like it. It's great for kids, great for pets, great for not having to maintain your lawn and spend so much time and money and effort on it. The thing will pay for itself in probably the first year. SouthwestGreensPA.com. Go check it out right now. All right.
You know about Southwest Greens, I mean, we love them and all, but they might want to move to Florida because everywhere I look, there's turf yards.
So there is a Southwest Greens franchise in Florida for what it's worth. So if you were one of the like 15% of our viewers or listeners that aren't in Western PA, I think that's the number. I tried looking it up the other day. Then by all means, just Google Southwest Greens in your area because they are there to help you have the best looking yard in the neighborhood and also do the least amount of work on your yard in the neighborhood. All right. Speaking of people doing things on turf, AA Ron and DK Metcalf. We didn't really get to talk about this yesterday because it came out right before we jumped on. And the big story of the day was more about you and Mike Tomlin. Sorry, it was, man. I don't know what you want me to say.
In this world. But you got four-time MVP coming to the Pittsburgh Steelers or some schlub in front of Mike Tomlin and people think he's sleeping. What are we doing here?
Don't undersell yourself. You're not a schlub.
Well, you haven't read my comments.
Just don't read the comments. I think that's the first problem right there.
Well, sometimes they pop up, and every time I pop something up, it's like a goofy picture of myself. It's pretty hard not to notice.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I'll say it again. You are a storyteller with words, but your face tells just as many stories, whether you like it or not.
Like I said, all you people out there.
Go ahead, flip them off.
Read between the lines.
Okay. Very clever. Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf worked out together in LA the other day. We got the videos and the photos yesterday to prove it. You said it yesterday. All the signs point now to Aaron Rodgers is the Steelers quarterback. We're just waiting for something to be signed and something to make it official. This is the biggest indicator yet that it's all but done. I can't imagine. Now, I did say this yesterday, and I still think it's a possibility that could Rodgers swerve at the last minute if someone else, i.e. the Vikings, decide to change their mind and express some interest? Maybe. Could he still decide, it was nice throwing to DK, but I don't know if I want to put my body through another year. And he decides to hang him up? Sure. Anything's a possibility with Rodgers. Let's keep that in mind. But that is the clearest sign yet, the two of them working out together in L.A., that this is all but a done deal.
Yeah, it seems like it definitely. You know, I honestly might disagree. I think him out there and going through some routes and throwing the ball, I think that pretty much, in my eyes, took retirement off the table. Why would he even bother if he's really questioning whether or not he wants to come back? Don't undersell how much he doesn't want to go out on his back, so to speak, you know, having that bad season or two in New York. I think, the competitor that he seems to be would be a guy that would not sit with him very well at all. I think retirement is then off the table by what I saw there. I think he looked pretty good from the – he didn't look like an old man out there, right? I mean, of course, it's on air. It's nothing there, whatever. I like that he was going some play action stuff. You can see he can at least hit his feet, his ankles, his Achilles look like they're at least workable, right? So Everything points towards that. I don't know why the time frame is what it is. Why don't they see? Why hasn't it been announced yet? But every indication you get just by what Tomlin, Omar, and other people you talk to is – I think they would be stunned if he doesn't sign. Absolutely. I mean, they would probably be like, oh, my goodness.
They'd be left at the altar.
See this one coming.
Yeah.
I think they pretty much are almost 100% assured that he's going to be here, if I was reading into this correctly.
So the other thing I thought of, and this is very, very, like, high school girlish kind of thought, like the kind of drama that only happens like with high school girls and Kardashians. How's George Pickens feeling today? Did anybody call him? Now, look, maybe they did. Maybe they did, and George had some kind of commitment. He couldn't make it there, but all of a sudden, his coach tells him to grow up before they all, you know, disband for the off season. And I'm not saying Mike Tomlin's wrong about that, by the way. But he wakes up one morning, opens up the social media and sees the guy who was just brought in, presumably to take his job, probably in George's mind, is working out with the prospective new quarterback. Unless he got a call and they said, hey, George, you want to join us in LA? He is immensely butthurt this morning. I can guarantee it.
I never even thought it like that. I mean, I don't know. We don't know. I mean, maybe he did call him. Maybe he didn't want to show up. Maybe he was doing his world tour like he was. Wasn't he? He was in some kind of cold weather city vacationing. Who knows what the dynamics behind that all is. But, you know, I asked Tom. I don't know if I asked Tom or Omar. I can't remember. But they called. We actually had a conversation with George about signing Metcalf. He said, I've talked to him, but I've not necessarily talked to him about that. I don't think that he's – I wouldn't read into that he's butthurt and he didn't want to come. That might have just been at the spur of the moment. I mean, we just total speculating on what happened there. Normally when these quarterbacks do put together a throwing session, they don't just bring one guy out. They bring
right.
out
That's my entire point. Group,
Scotty Miller, Ben
That's
Scaroni.
That's my point.
Whatever. But maybe we have to go back to the old thought of, you know, Aaron Rodgers does things differently. Maybe he didn't want it to be known or whatever, and he wanted to keep it down low as possible.
There was a photographer there.
One guy.
So.
But we don't even know if that was the first time. Maybe that was the fifth time they did that.
Maybe. Maybe.
I don't know.
All the more reason, I think. Look, I'm just, it's a scary place to be to crawl inside the mind of George Pickens, I'll admit. I'm just trying to crawl Pickens. Up in there and think, how did George look at this? Because I can imagine how he looked at it if he didn't get the invite.
I don't think he gives a shit unless the ball is not thrown to him week one.
Okay.
At the bottom line with George is, throw me the damn ball. T.O., baby. Is that, he did it. That was T.O., right? Throw me the damn ball? Or
yeah.
Or is that, no. Was it?
Yeah, that was T.O., wasn't it? Throw me the damn ball? Yeah. Who else would it have been?
I don't think it was T.O.
Then who was it?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking you. Remember, I'm sleeping.
Oh, Keyshawn. It was Keyshawn. Yes. Yeah, you're asleep at the wheel again. Keyshawn.
Yeah, throw him the damn ball. As long as you throw him the ball and he has yards and he has numbers and he has touchdowns, he feels like he's helping the team win come September 10th, whenever the hell the season starts. That's all that matters for George. He doesn't really – you think he cares? I don't think he really –
I think he cares. I think retroactively – I think retroactively he's going to care a whole lot if we get to week one and week two and DK has 15 catches for 350 yards and four touchdowns through the first 2 weeks and George has six catches for 85 yards and no TDs.
Yeah, I mean, back to the original point, you throw him the ball then. I mean, those two should play off each other extremely nice.
They just should.
The fact that – I mean, there was – you look at DK's number and his double-team rate the past couple years has been top 10 every single year. Last year at the end of the season, that's all teams were doing was double-teaming him and George. And Geno Smith had to go towards Jackson Smith and Jigba, and that's why he had huge numbers. We know what George had to face last year. Somebody's going to be running free, and they should be – honestly, they should be able to help each other out. So I don't see that there's not going to be, especially if Aaron Rodgers is there, you're going to have enough balls thrown around. I mean, he's going to get you the ball. They're not going to sit there and run the ball 29 times a game. I just don't see that happening. With
Arthur Smith is just like a dad handing the keys to the car to his teenage son. Just, there you go, Aaron. It's yours now, bud.
I mean –
it's going to happen.
Four-time MVP. You better listen to him.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, though, like, this isn't – if Aaron Rodgers is, in fact, the guy, and again, we're – every day we take another step in reaching that conclusion. That's not exactly a perfect fit, perfect meld with an Arthur Smith offense, but they'll figure it out. And look, I'll be honest. If I had to choose between – if I had to choose between prime Aaron Rodgers and Arthur Smith – hell, give me prime Aaron Rodgers all 7 days of the week and an eighth. I don't know how close we are to prime Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is, you know, a click or two better than Russell Wilson last year, and you add the pieces that they add here. We might have to honestly start talking about, is this team an AFC North contender? Is this team has a chance to play with the Ravens, play with the Bills, play with the Chiefs, who's obviously taken steps backwards? I mean, it's all based off of how good Aaron Rodgers.
It's all based off Rodgers. You're basically handing, like I said, you know, I wasn't joking about Arthur Smith having to hand the keys to the offense to Aaron Rodgers. But it's only mildly like half joking for it to be, you're handing the keys to the franchise to Aaron Rodgers for a year. You are. The franchise will rise or fall over 17 games, maybe more, as Aaron Rodgers rises or falls.
Arthur Smith says, here's the keys to the car, Aaron, be back by 10. He goes, I'll be back whenever the hell I want to be back.
Exactly. Yeah. By the way, what should my policy be? Like, when I give my daughter, and she only has her learner's permit now, for those that missed it last week. But, like, I give her on school nights, hey, you got to be home by 10, right? So
School nights?
Yeah.
If you're in bed by 9:30 every night.
She's 16, kaboom. It's like.
What the hell? Tell her to go outside and play some softball or, you know, whenever the lights come on and come back in the house.
She's 16, right? Not 6. Jesus.
Well,
anyway. You know,
she's not allowed to drive by herself. What is that supposed to mean?
No, if she hangs out with her boyfriend, you know, they go and get something to eat and then they hang out for a little while.
How old is this guy?
He's 17. Don't worry about it. He's a good kid.
Ooh, I don't know about this. Is he a fan of the program?
He's I'm not. You know what? I haven't tested him to that extent yet. I know so he's a big Penn State
right
fan.
Now. Let's talk shit on him and see if he responds to you.
He's talk shit on him. Listen here, kid. Stop bringing my daughter home at 10:05.
No, I don't think he could pull that one off.
What?
You know, being trying to be a tough guy.
No, I'm not. I'm the farthest thing from a tough guy.
I would be.
What would you do?
I just tried to embarrass the kids now.
No, see, once they get to be teenagers, you don't want to embarrass them anymore because, like, it does. It messes with their heads. And I ain't trying to pass along any of those weird psychoses to my kids. They got enough. They got the genetic lottery enough as it was when they ended up being my kid. So I'm not trying to pass anything else on.
10 o'clock's kind of aggressive for a 16-year-old.
10 o'clock is not aggressive for a 16-year-old, yes, but showing up 5 minutes late consistently does start to chat my ass just a little bit. Like she got a text at 10:04 last night and said, "Hey, you're starting to push it." Okay. Pulled in at 10:05.
Yep, she leave you on red. She leave you on red.
Oh, she leaves us on red constantly. Just wait till your kids are old enough to text with you regularly. They will leave you unread for hours. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, when they need something, bing, 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 six texts in a row.
She has to know that she can shut that off, right?
That she can shut what off?
To let you know if she read your text or not.
I don't know. I don't care.
It just says delivery. I can see when you say
no,
red.
I can see when it says red. Yeah.
Yeah, you can shut that off if it was her.
Yeah, she doesn't care.
Who knows this?
Anyway.
Okay, I want to still talk about this boyfriend. What is he now? Does he play any ball?
He golfs and he runs track.
So he's not really an athlete. Well, that should see if he actually watches the show or not. The pro,
yeah, that'll be the shot fired to see if he. I'll give it 24 hours and see if we hear back about that one. What were your takeaways from talking with Omar yesterday? Because we didn't really get a chance to break that down. You were still kind of processing everything that had happened earlier in the morning. You didn't get back to listen to it or transcribe it or anything. What's your biggest takeaway from Omar Khan's discussion with the media yesterday?
Well, Omar is he doesn't elaborate much, right? He did said some stuff, you know, maybe behind the scenes, but he actually even said, "I thought you guys were going to ask us more, me and Bort, about these comp picks." And I was curious a little bit about the comp picks because a lot of people are making the assumption that this is a plan. And to a regard, it might be a plan, but this is just based off of a lot of one-year deals or guys are on their expiring contracts where they actually got paid nicely on the free agency market. I don't know if they went into it 3 years ago and let's give these guys, you know, 1-2 year deals. They'll all come up at the same time and we'll have a ton of draft capital and we can use it on a quarterback. I don't know.
Because a couple years ago, they would have still thought that Kenny was their guy. Right. So like, I think it's just a happy byproduct, you know, happenstance, a coincidence of ending up with all those guys departing on their contract.
Oh, yeah, you're able to get rid of Dan Moore because you drafted Fatanu and Jones. You're able to get rid of James Daniel because you draft Mason McCormick, right? Who else left? Najee, well, they weren't going to sign him. Russell, whatever. Mm-hmm. You still don't know. I mean, they still don't know 100% where these picks are going to go. A lot of it's determined on play time. And obviously, play time doesn't come into effect until after the season. They have a general idea where they'll be, but
given the deals that were signed by guys in other places and how much playing time we would suspect they're going to get based on the deals that they signed, you know, there's a good chance that you're going to get some decent comp picks. You're going to get a third, maybe a fourth, maybe a couple of fit, you know, like there's a chance to get some legitimate draft capital based off of, you know, if the Giants don't draft a quarterback and Russ stays healthy all year and plays halfway decent, you know, that's going to get you probably a third round pick possibly, you know, that's a very real opportunity. Same goes for, like you said, Dan Moore Jr. If that guy plays all 17 games, okay, maybe we're talking about a fourth round pick. So
he's the guy that's missed one game in his 4-year career too. So
right,
odds on that he will be healthy. And same with Najee. I mean, he hasn't missed any games either. So, I mean, he's at least pointing in the right direction.
It's a great concept, though, especially when you consider the fact that it'll be here in Pittsburgh next year. And wouldn't look, again, it's a happy byproduct. It's a happy coincidence.
Statement of yours.
What's that?
They're going to wait to draft in Pittsburgh so they can.
No. I'm saying it's a happy coincidence to be the team that might walk up to the podium more than any other team during the draft that's being held in your city. Maybe just a happy coincidence, but a really happy one nonetheless.
Coinky dink, baby.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know. I don't think they've even had a comp pick since Omar's taken over. That was more of a Kevin Colbert back in the day when they were losing players just because they couldn't afford anybody under the cap. I think more recently, like I said, a lot of it's a byproduct of having some better draft picks that make some players expendable as well. So I don't know. I don't think you can really project that into next year saying, okay, we'll do this, this, and this. We'll get a quarterback. I think it's just nice to have that chance. I mean, and worst comes to worst, if you need to move up into the second round, want to move up into the second round this year, you can trade next year's fourth round pick, and it would be replaced by the projected compensatory pick.
I still think that's an interesting thing to keep an eye on as we get closer to the draft. It'll be worth talking about some more, obviously, because we're still
I think they'll three move weeks some away. Of them. If they're thinking they're getting four and it adds on to the seven, they don't want 11 draft picks. So they would definitely somehow try to move some of those ones.
Well, I got to think they'd love to have a second round pick back in the fold this year too, right? Like, yeah. I get it. It was worth it to trade it for Metcalf. Nobody's saying it wasn't. But given the depth of D-line and running back and a couple other positions in this draft, wouldn't you like to have a pick at, what would it be? It'd be 53, I think, 52, 53.
Yeah, so a lot of people rip on Omar too, say, you know, some of the things he does. But, you know, he does his job, what I think, extremely well, what he's done. It's not roster construction. It's like how they got DK Metcalf. He reached out to all 31 other general managers, who's available, what possible, okay, what can we get for him? And before you know it, bing, 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 within 5 days, you're trading for DK Metcalf. It's not Omar saying, I want this corner or this defensive end from Ole Miss. No, I think what he does is what we saw free agency-wide and how to approach the draft and move up and down and not getting burnt by, you know, potentially overpaying. So he takes some criticism, but I think he knows where he's good at and where he's not. He brought in other guys like Andy Weidel and guys like that to be able to throw that part. The only problem now is there a meddling head coach that throws that all off? But I guess that's a story for a different day. You know, if he comes in and just says, no, we want to do this, this, and that, then it throws off the whole plan. I don't know how much Mike Tomlin has a say so in. I'm assuming it's a ton.
In the draft? A ton.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, is it to the point of, okay, we all have to agree or no, we're taking this guy? And let's hope it's not, hey, we're taking this guy. Then you just totally wipe out all the scouting department's hard work over a year.
I don't know. That's a fly on the wall situation. I'd love to get to be a part of someday. Thanks to Impact HVAC, Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook for sponsoring Kabali and Mac as well. Tony and the guys do a great job. Whether you just need a tune-up on the AC before summer gets here, they'll come out and check it, service it, make sure you're ready to go so that it doesn't crap out that first super hot week of the year later this spring, early summer. Like this morning, you woke up and the furnace wasn't working at all, and it's 35 degrees out and it's 60 degrees in the house. And you're like, holy hell, what are we going to do? Get a hold of Impact HVAC because there's still a few cold days left this year. Maybe if you want to just tuck it away in the back of your gray matter and remember it for the fall to get your furnace serviced, if it is new, they'll come out and do that too every single fall before it starts to get cold. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. Go check them out. Now we thank them for supporting Kabali and Mac. 81 degrees down there in beautiful West Palm Beach, Florida. Kaboom.
Feels like 86. It was steaming yesterday. Steaming.
I can tell by looking at Mike Tomlin.
I mean, the next week, 86, 84, 84, 83, 84, 84, 88, 80 for the next week.
So jealous. I could live like that.
It's kind of toasty yesterday. Now, Sunday, it was a little chilly Sunday. A little South American weather, chilly, but.
What'd it get to?
No, I mean, it was windy, overcast.
What was it, like?
That's how you tell. I mean, let me tell you. I'll you can jump into my weather class here for a second. If you're looking at the weather, you're like, okay, it's 55 degrees. Should I wear a coat? Is it going to be cold? 55 is like not good, nice Pittsburgh weather.
Well, it depends what kind of 55 it is. All depends
if the sun's up. If you see the sun's going to be out all day, man, pull out the old cutoff shirt. If it's going to be cloudy.
You got to check the wind, too, though. You mentioned the wind. You got to check.
The sun makes so much of a difference between the feeling of the temperature of a 55 where it's hot and a 55 where it's cold.
I'm kind of worried about the home opener, to be honest. It looks like it might be real rainy on Friday for the Bucco home opener. I'm not excited about that.
I don't know if you've been paying attention, but it's been raining on the Bucks for about 40 years.
Yeah, Friday, 64 and a 67% chance of rain.
Can't the Pirates come up with a torpedo bat? The ones that needed it.
Yeah, I mean, who used it last night? Ellie De La Cruz in Cincinnati used it and like immediately homered. I don't have a problem with these torpedo bats. You don't have a problem with it, do you?
It has to be very awkward. You must have a lot of off-season swings in on it to feel comfortable to go up there.
So they actually said there's a theory. I just saw a bit of this piece from John Heyman in the New York Post this morning. The other Heyman. There's a theory that it may have caused the injury issues, the wrist issues that Giancarlo Stanton is having. Because he's out for the Yankees right now. And they think he may have been trying to use the torpedo bat this spring, and it might have messed up. That's just a theory from John Heyman at the New York Post. But, I would think it takes some adjusting, too.
I think.
But once you get used to it, man, if you're talking about moving the sweet spot of the bat from out here to right smack dab in the middle, okay, let's go.
I say the Pirates, I know that's not going to happen. It might happen because I think the players are responsible for purchasing their own bats, aren't they? Every Pirate has to use them now. You have to. It's mandatory.
Yes, and I would sneak some aluminum bats in there and some of those big red – you remember the big red wiffle ball bats that like, looked like a Flintstone club? You remember those?
Oh, yeah.
The cork. I need some of those, too.
Cork in there. You ever cork a bat when you were younger?
No. I only had one wooden bat in my life. I got it for free on a bat day in 1987. By the way, imagine that these days too. Imagine if they still did a bat day where they gave every single person in the park a full-size wooden bat. Like at some point somebody's having 18 beers and braining somebody with that thing, which is probably why they don't do it anymore. But I had a full-size Johnny Ray Louisville Slugger. Remember Johnny Ray, second baseman back in the day?
I remember Johnny Ray. He was the only player they had in the 80s.
Yeah, and in that weird mid-80s pocket between like 85 and 87, it was him and Tony Pena and Rick Roden. That was basically it. And Rick Roden didn't want to be here. And he got his wish. He got traded to the Yankees. Anyway, I never wanted to mess with it because it was my only wooden bat, so I never tried corking it. So,
where is that bat at now?
I don't know what happened to it. I think it broke at one point over the years. But I'm kind of pissed. I wish I would have kept it. But anyway, speaking of rules, by the way, the tush push, is this thing going to get banned today? Or is this going to get tabled until the May meeting?
No, what do you think? I don't think it's going to, maybe it will be tabled until when is that? A couple months from now?
May, I think. Yeah. May. Late May, I think.
Depends on who you talk to. Some of them like it. Some of them don't. I know. At least what Tomlin was talking about, it made a lot of sense, is you don't want to discourage anybody from being innovative. And it's more of an innovation of this team figured out how to do it? Do we want to really pull back on the reins of teams trying to do things outside of the box here? But on the flip side of that, they got rid of a lot of the pushing and stuff like that on the field goal at extra points because of safety issues. But I don't know if anybody's ever even got hurt on the tush.
No,
push.
There's – see, maybe here's the problem.
Holmes, maybe.
Here's the problem. Justin on YouTube just commented that it just got tabled. Okay. So, I mean, if that, in fact, is the case, I hate the idea of banning it for the stupid excuse of injuries. It's not any more – in fact, it's less injury-causing than a lot of other plays that we have no problem with. Like, do we – when are we going to finally do something about cut blocks? Like, we did the league's tried. Are they ever going to lay down the law on cut blocks and dudes getting their knees blown out? Or you tell people they can't be tackled high, and then you tell them they can't be tackled low. Where are you allowed to tackle guys anymore? So, like, they're trying to legislate everything out of the game. I understand it's not a pretty play. I understand it looks like a rugby play. And I understand defensive players who say, hey, we should be allowed to push back. Fine. Let it be a rugby play down on the goal line then. I know linemen don't like the idea of everybody piling up on top of them, but I would have to think that unless you get, you know, you get caught up in some weird kind of twist situation, it's got much less chance to end in injury than a lot of most other play, 95% of the other plays in the league.
I will tell you, getting those goal line plays when you're on the bottom of the pile and there's about seven people on top of you does not feel pleasant.
Oh, I'm sure it doesn't. But it's the same as a quarterback sneak, right?
Get off me. Like, I can't breathe.
But right. But as an offensive lineman, the same thing happens on a quarterback sneak or maybe even a dive, right? Like a dive play on the goal line. You still end up in a mass of humanity with six people laying on top of you, right? Just, like it doesn't feel good either way. So what's the difference between a dive or a quarterback sneak and a tush push? Okay, guys are pushing from behind.
Maybe the success rate of it. Do you remember the old Tecmo Bowl, the old Jerry Rice play that you were a lot of us just banned because it was you couldn't stop it?
Yeah.
I mean, how fair you? We figured this out when we were 10, 11, 12 years old. You can't run this play because you can't stop it.
Okay, then
maybe
why
you can't
do
run
some...
this play because it's physically impossible to stop?
Then why doesn't everybody do it? And in the case of the Buffalo Bills, they've tried to do it, and they suck
Josh
at it.
Josh Allen just doesn't do it well.
Right. So don't give me this shit that it can't be stopped. It gets stopped all the time, just
unless
not when the Eagles run it. And I'm not an Eagles fan. No, I'm not here to stand for Philly, but like.
Not everybody has a quarterback can deadlift and squat 7 million pounds.
Then go get one.
It hurts either.
Then go get one. Or don't run the tush push. Like, it's a simple thing. You have a player that's good at something, and now they want to create a rule that stops that player from being able to do that because he's good at it. Like, this is reminiscent of Mel Blunt not being allowed to chuck dudes at the line anymore.
This reminds me of the original Bush push, right? You're allowed to do it, but just don't push from behind. Why can't we just have a happy medium? You're not allowed to push the quarterback. He can quarterback sneak, and they can jam it up in there, but you can't have help from behind you pushing you through.
But what's your reasoning for changing the rule at this point? That's my problem. If your reasoning is, oh, so-and-so, like, I'll use this as an example. I hate the idea that they took home plate collisions out of baseball and that they took taking out the double play turn at second base out of baseball because one or two guys got injured. And were they bad injuries? Yeah, they're terrible injuries to really good players in some cases. You know, but just because Buster Posey gets his leg broken at home plate doesn't mean home plate collisions shouldn't exist anymore. Just because I can't remember who it was now, second base, who got dumped and got injured really badly. But just because that happens, you don't taking out the second baseman on a double play attempt out of the game. Just because it happened to one person, it was a bad injury one time. They haven't even had that injury yet, Kaboom. They haven't even had that injury. If they had had that injury, maybe I'd start to listen. They haven't even had it yet. And how many times have we seen the tush push get run? And yeah, one team is way more effective at it than everybody else. And that's the only reason everybody else is trying to take it out is because the Eagles are so damn good at it.
But if you're an AFC team, what do you give a shit about the Eagles for? I can see the NFC saying we don't want this, but if you play a
maybe
team
you
want to
draft Jalen Milroe and you think he can run the tush push.
I mean, I just don't think. I mean, I just don't like it changing the game. The fact that if it's third and three, let's get run the most conservative play possible, because if we get the fourth and 1.5, we're automatically assured of a first down.
Don't give up 7 yards on the first two plays, then.
I'm just saying, I think it changes the strategy of the game.
Oh, definitely.
Teams that can do it. I mean, I don't know. I just don't think I think the problem is the overwhelming success rate of one particular team. And do you wait until that injury happens to a big-time quarterback and say, oh, man, we should have taken this out?
Well, no, but if you're worried about your quarterback getting hurt to that extent, then you don't run the tush push then. I'm fine with you deciding not to run it. The Eagles decide, Sirianni decides, Kellen Moore decided, Jalen Hurts decided, hey, we think it's worth it to have this play installed because Jalen runs it really well.
You ever see a play where a guy gets stopped at like the 2 yard line and there's a offensive lineman in the end zone pulling a guy? It's illegal. You can't
pull.
So what the hell's the difference between pulling and pushing?
Well, I never took physics, but I imagine there's probably a basic difference between pushing and pulling that I don't feel like getting into right now. Either way, again, as Justin just told us on YouTube, it has been tabled until May. So the tush-push argument can continue for at least
next 2 months. I mean, how many times has something been tabled then passed in May? It's probably something really stupid, like we want to do more research on blah, blah, blah. And if it wasn't going to pass.
Exactly. Because what it is the argument of those who want to ban it coming at it from the perspective of, oh, player safety. Bullshit. Just be honest and say we want to get rid of it because Jalen Hurts is really good at it. And then we can have an open conversation about whether it's a good-looking football player or not. Right? We can argue about whether it's a rugby player or not. Fine, we can have all those conversations. But don't give me this BS about it's very dangerous. Dangerous than any other play.
I mean, I didn't follow the Eagles as much as possible, but did Kenny Pickett ever run the play? Did they use it with him?
No, I don't think they did. Probably because he's not as good at running it as Jalen Hurts. So they found a guy who's good at running a certain play. Like, should we not be allowed to throw back shoulder fades to George Pickens anymore?
Okay, let's put Jalen Warren under center and have him run the tush push.
Okay, go for it then. Be creative enough to come up with the answer to it, I guess. The other thing that kind of flew under the radar, and I want to touch on it before we wrap up for today, and I want to credit, speaking of Philly, a guy out in Philly for mentioning this. I had not seen it until Joe Giglio from WIP in Philly tweeted about it last night, this morning. The NFL has approved a tweak to league rules for flexing those Thursday night games on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
Used to be a 28-day window, which even then was tough. If you had bought tickets for a Thursday night game and you had to travel to it, or you had to make some kind of plans to go to that Thursday night game, you were screwed if they decided to move it to a Sunday, or vice versa. They moved your Sunday game to a Thursday. Then you're even more screwed, because now you're talking about having, maybe you, like so many Steeler fans do, you travel to a game and all of a sudden a Steelers game got flexed from a Sunday afternoon to a Thursday night. You'd be hosed. You're talking about 2 or 3 more days off work. You're talking about, you know, changing your flights, all this kind of stuff, the hotel rooms, all of it. Well, now they've reduced it to 21 days. Telling fans in the stands, hey, we don't care about you. This is all for TV, which, again, it's where the majority of the money comes from. So they're free to do that if they want. But I know for some teams, like John Mara fought against this really hard a couple years ago when they tried to install the Thursday night flex. Didn't work. For some teams, like the Steelers, who have fans from all over the world who travel to different places to go to games, the first time a Steelers game gets flexed out of a Sunday to a Thursday and screws all those fans' travel plans up and they can't go to the game, you're going to hear about it.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing you can really do about it. I don't think Art Rooney appreciated it last year at all. I think he came out against it. I think he'll probably be talking here in the next 2 to 3 hours. I'm sure that he'll be against it as well. I mean, as long as Netflix and Prime, and as you mentioned, pay this kind of cash, they don't give a rat's ass about who your travel plans. I mean, but the problem is you talk about player safety, and you got to worry a little bit about the player safety too, because you don't know how that matches up with the rest of their schedule. Okay, you can flex out 3 games in a row, but how about if they had something a Saturday, you know, sort of like last year when they had those crazy ass games at the end of the season, a Saturday, a Thursday, a Sunday, a whatever, a Monday thing. Then you bring in a potential injury aspect of it all. It doesn't, yeah. I don't know why they need, I know why they want it, because NBC, right? It's on NBC, right? The Sunday.
No, it's on, you talk about Sunday night or Thursday night? Thursday night is the one they adjusted the rule for yesterday without really telling anybody. It's now 21 day flex instead of 20.
Well, the Prime
flex.
Must be,
that's really on Prime.
They must be paying a lot of cash. That's all it is. I mean, it's cash, and I don't understand why owners or even the Players Association wouldn't have any say so in that. I mean,
it must be written.
The owners do have a say so in it, right?
Well, the owners are the ones voting for it, right? It must be written into the CBA somewhere that the league can do this without getting further approval from the Players Association. I don't know. But look, the faster we get to an extra bye week, the better. And again, I've said this before, I will say it until they actually get there. The trade-off needs to be, you know, the league wants to get to 18 regular season games. And you know the players would like to have an extra bye week so they can stay healthier throughout the year, especially with all the Thursday games involved now. Just make it a 20-week, 18-game regular season. And I know some of you are going to go, oh my God, the regular season is going to go till the end of January. What the hell else are you doing in January, right? Think about the weather in most of the country in January and February. Even down there in beautiful West Palm Beach, Florida, kaboom. Weather isn't that nice in January and February. You think people are going to care if they're staying in on a Sunday night to watch an NFL game instead of Purdue, Iowa playing basketball or a random NHL game or random NBA game? No.
I'd say hockey.
Hey, Frozen Four, baby. Frozen Four, here we come. That is not true. Pony's Burner just threw something out on there, and this has got to be an April Fool's joke. I'm not believing it. Do you see what's up there, Kaboom? I'm not putting it on the screen yet because it's April Fool's Day, and I refuse to throw anything up on the screen that may not have some level of truth to it. I don't see this anywhere. So I'm just going to take it. I'm just going to take it as a nice April Fool's attempt by Brian Garrett.
The best part about this is I saw Glazer last night, and he'd give me the old back slap. I don't know if I've ever talked to him before in my life, but apparently he's big friends with Guy Fieri, who's big friends with Sean McVay.
Okay. So is that the crew you were hanging out with last night?
Serena Williams in the house, Caitlin Clark in the house last night. They all come up to me and say, "You're the one sleeping, right?"
No.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't. Although I was kind of starstruck by Guy Fieri. However you pronounce his name.
Just Fieri. Come on. We're from Pittsburgh, man. Just say Fieri.
He was wearing some rope-ass diamond necklace with like this wide. Like, oh my goodness, if I wasn't I wanted to be a mark and say, hey man, can I get my picture taken with you? But then I'm like, that's creepy.
Why is that creepy? I bet other people were taking pictures with him.
Believe it or not, I run into some people that always say, hey, I gotta get a selfie with you. And I look at them like they're absolutely an asshole. I don't feel like that, but I'm like, what?
Why? What?
Now that's creepy, man. If I'm walking to the stadium and somebody wants to take a selfie with me, that's weird.
Dude, they appreciate your work. You're a content creator.
I'm a freaking schlub.
You're a schlub reporter.
Falls asleep at a table, right?
I thought you didn't fall asleep.
What the hell are we talking about here?
They like you. It's cool. They read your stuff. They get to be a fan via your reporting. I don't ever.
Oh, I'm nice to them, and all that's fine and all. But I'm thinking, geez, man, your standards are low.
They are not. Stop selling yourself short.
Oh, God, Pierre, man. Ooh.
I want good dude.
I don't know. I just wanted to make me some food.
Well, this has been another.
At least Danny's a big fan of mine, it looks like. Danny B.
Yeah, Danny B. wanted us to talk about Aaron. We did earlier, Danny. It looks like you jumped on a little bit late in the show. That's okay. Go back to like the five-minute mark or so
like when we talked
about Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf.
The Joey Bag of Donuts is down to the final eight, Elite Eight. And it looks like I'm in the Elite Eight against Mark Madden.
This is where I fall asleep. Go ahead. Tell everybody about the Pittsburgh sports media March Madness.
Okay, I just saw that Crowley tweeted something, so I looked. Starkey with a Elite Eight appearance against Dan Potash. I'll vote for Potash just to make Starkey.
Oh, I got to vote for Danny. I love Starkey.
Pump versus Getzoff. I'll vote for Getzoff just because I know Pump's about 97% chance he's going to win. Oh, he's already killing. Mackey versus Hillgrove. Come on, it has to be Hillgrove. And me versus Madden. I got a slight edge on Madden.
It's enthralling, really.
Look at that. Madden reposting the post I was mentioned in. Madden must be really worried about this.
All right. Thanks as well to First and Goal Collectibles. They hooked us up with the autographed Jerome Bettis jersey that I am going to ship out to Aiden here. A little bit later this afternoon, they hooked us up with the autographed Sidney Crosby photo plaque that we sent to Larry in California last month. And they are going to hook us up with something real nice.
I heard some rumors of something nice coming down the pipe.
Might be something real nice, Clark. Coming.
Maybe somebody should come up with an idea.
We're going to cook something up. I tried getting you to come up with an idea last night and you came up with
your idea. I like my idea the best.
We're not. No, that could take until August.
No, come on now.
For the record, Mark's idea was let's get something, and I'm not going to say which player related to, but something Pirates related is what I mentioned to him. And he said, oh, let's do a big celebration for when they lose their 100th game.
That's going to be
hell, man. What the hell? I know they're bad, right? Like it could happen, you know. In July, but
what are they? Are they 0-3? I lost.
They're 1-4. They're 1-4. Mark.
Oh yeah, they won. Yeah, you remember?
They won the second game of the Marlins.
Then everybody's
they lost again. They lost again last night in Tampa.
Yeah, so. How's that Holderman and Bednar coming up? How about that hitting?
Yeah, none of it's coming.
O'Neill Cruz, man.
They are calling a kid up today who Thomas Harrington might be pretty good.
Who was that dude maybe 4 or 5 years ago they brought up? He was like pitching a no-hitter against the Mets, and they got rained out or something, and he was supposed to be the next star. Then you never heard of him again. What the hell was his name? I think it was during the COVID year. Somebody on this damn chat should know.
No, nobody knows.
He played against the Mets, and he was like perfect. Like, oh, this guy's unbelievable. Hey, O'Neill Cruz finally make it to second base yet or what?
Anyway, this has been another fantastic edition of Cabali and Mac. Thanks to all of our sponsors and our presenting sponsor, our friends at the Dan Heck Team, heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K. Teamhomes.com.
Some guy you've never heard of again.
Everybody's just throwing random pirate pitchers' names out in the chat now. Who's
my favorite guy from the? He got kicked out of the game before he ever played for the Pirates.
Oh no! He didn't. He had actually
that wasn't him, but he's one of my favorites for other reasons.
Oh, it was a dude that got kicked out for gambling.
Holland. What's his name?
No.
Yes. No, he got kicked out. He was.
Oh, you're talking about Derek Holland when
he's definitely one of my favorites of all
when
time.
He got kicked out before a game started.
That's not who I'm talking about.
I thought you were talking about there was a guy that got banned for life for gambling, but he wasn't a Steeler or a Pirates minor leaguer anymore. Tuco, what was his name? Oh, I can't
Tuco
remember.
Salamanca.
Yeah. But anyway, all right. This has gone way too long.
We're not leaving until I come up with it. Hold on a second.
There, you're not going to come up with it. We're just wasting people's time at this point. Good work by you. Kaboom's going to be traveling tomorrow. No show tomorrow. But Thursday, we'll do another one in reaction to whatever happened today, whatever else may come out. And we'll be officially 3 weeks from the draft on Thursday, too, Kaboom, which is very exciting. I know you're.
Oh, I got baseball statistics up. Hold on a second.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Again, where the hell? Let me strike the pose.
Kyle Crick, that ain't it.
Kyle Crick was a jagoff, by the way.
Yeah, like Kona, that ain't it.
So was Keone Kella. He was a jagoff too.
No, wasn't he? Was he a jagoff?
Mm-hmm.
JT Brubaker, that ain't it.
No JT.
This is killing me. God, Max
killing
Kranick
everyone.
Like, that's who it is.
Max Kranick.
Yeah, Max, you remember Kranick? Him? Came in as like Chris. Yeah, he was the next superstar. I don't know how this has to do with anything. There he is. Phil got it. Phil just texted me. Max Kranick. That's it.
Okay. That's Thank you, Phil. About. Man. Oh, the guy I was thinking of, Tucapita Marcano. Tucapita Marcano was the guy. Your connection's completely gone now, by the way. Was the guy that got busted.
You were frozen. Ain't my connection.
No, it's yours. It's yours. We'll go back and check the video after the fact.
You don't like the Laquita connection here?
Go back to the nice hotel where people are talking and do some work.
I got
okay?
the Laquita in and suites. I'm neither in an inn or a suite.
Say goodbye to everyone, Mark.
West Palm Beach is very weird, man. You either got a $800 hotel rooms or $150 hotel rooms.
Oh, this is the point. Real quick, legitimate question from Felipe. It wasn't Felipe Vasquez, who's in a prison somewhere right now in Colombia or something. What's the free candy bar today? Brian Garrett wants to know.
What the hell do I know? What are you talking about?
Well, haven't you haven't been there yet this morning?
No, you know, I told you I've got to do wrestling. I woke up, did wrestling. I mean, there's nothing really going on today. It was the NFC, and I really don't want to talk to Brian Daboll.
But so didn't you say Art talks later?
He talks later, but when they call me, I'll go there 3 hours from now.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your day.
They had Snickers, Twix, Milky Way. I got about 14 of them right here.
Twixes is, as you said.
Hold on. I'll show it to you.
Just, can't wait.
My Easter bunny.
Again, going to strike the Kaboom pose here. Here we go. I'm not sleeping.
I should be doing this.
I'm not sleeping.
Woohoo!
Holy Jesus, that's a lot of candy bars.
Hey, I don't have to go to Easter Bunny now. We got the Milky Way. We got the Twix. And what else we got? We got the M&M. Oh, shit, that dropped off. Got the M&M. A bunch more. So I'll go home, and I'll be like, kids, the Easter Bunny came to Florida.
You cheap bastard.
Cheap as hell, man.
All right, say goodbye to everybody. We'll talk on Thursday. See you.